Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Can't wait to start taking your calls about what unfolded at Moonee Valley over the weekend and as we build up to what is one of the great days of racing, that being Derby Day down there at fabulous Flemington. As we like to say, it is Christmas for adults, and at Moonee Valley, wow, it was like Christmas, wasn't it? Winx winning four Cox Plates, winning 39 starts now, 33 wins, 29 straight, 22 Group 1s and a record $22.8 million. And without going off too early, I don't think we've seen the last of Winx, maybe an autumn preparation, the Apollo, the Chipping Norton, the George Ryder, and then hopefully the farewell and the $4 million Queen Elizabeth. That sounds pretty good to me, and I know Chris Waller and the owners don't want to commit to any sort of program at this stage, and that is fair enough. But let's get to our panel. Ronnie Duffersey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Terry. It was a great weekend, wasn't it? One of the best scenes you'll ever see of her winning her fourth there on Saturday. And let's hope, you know, it's easy for us to say, you know, we want to see her in the autumn, but let's hope she can get there and we can enjoy her a little bit more.
There were a couple of stars down there at Moonee Valley on the weekend. There was Winx, and then there was Dean Lester with his rendition of Horses along with Darryl Braithwaite. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK.
He had the joint rocking, mate.
It was bursting at the seams. Yeah. It was an amazing day to be at the track, to be honest.
Yeah, it was. And you've been to plenty of big days. Would that be as good a day, considering the event that you've been to?
I think that it's now in the three that really stand out in my mind, with Maccabi Diva's third Melbourne Cup.
That was special.
And Black Caviar's last race at Moonee Valley.
Yeah.
It was something else that night. So, you know, I think they got around 30,000 that night, and it was incredible. But Saturday was just a different level again, because there was yeah, I likened it to like a music festival. It was a long wait for the main event, because I was on course at 10 o'clock, and it was sort of seven hours before the event. When I got there at 10 o'clock, I wasn't in the front row of the park. There was a lot of people there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, and they were, you know, I went up about 20 minutes before I thought she'd arrive on course, and there were people just camped outside her stall, 10 deep, just waiting to see her.
It doesn't really matter, but the crowd looked young as well. I mean, I know veterans would have been there, but the crowd was young, and we saw that at the Everest here, Dino, and I thought I saw that at Moonee Valley on the weekend, and I think that's all good.
Yeah, look, the crowd was certainly younger, and she's their champion.
She's
this generation's champion. This is the one that... Yeah, whilst they can't make a lot of money out of her, they can relate to and just see, you know, see her brilliance and her near perfection.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Speaking of near perfection, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au, good morning.
Morning, TK. Morning, Ronnie. Morning, Dino. And I think Saturday, and along with the Everest, TK, made a point. Make it all about the horses. Make it all about the jockeys. Make it all about the trainers. Don't make it about getting to the races to get on the drink. And guess what? They'll still come.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't care why they go, as long as they go.
But, you know, there was nothing about, you know, come to a party at Moonee Valley or anything like that. Come to see Winx.
Well, that's okay if you've got Winx. Yeah.
Yeah, or come to see, you know, Darryl Braithwaite at Moonee Valley. But it wasn't, you know, come to get on the drink at Moonee Valley.
No. No, everyone's entitled to have a good time within reason.
And someone will say, oh, geez, you sound like a narc. Well, I've been going to the races for a fair while, and a lot longer than a lot of people, and it used to be all about the horses made the event at the races, and we seemed to lost that for a while. And now we've got to re-educate people that there are actually horses there.
Well, that's fine, but you've got a superstar, you know? You've got a superstar like Winx, and you've got the best we've ever seen.
Well, why did they get their biggest crowd ever on a Friday night at Moonee Valley for Manicato Stakes Night?
Well, because they were all there in anticipation of what was going to unfold on the Saturday.
And that's just growing year on year, TK. Yeah. 3 years ago, there was 5,000 people there. I think there was 13,000 Friday night.
Yeah,
and just... I've been to Manukato. You could get everyone's autograph and only take you 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think swept up in the euphoria of what was going to be a Winx weekend. Dino, I'll bring it up just so we can deal with it. The track bias that we get on the Saturday, is that because of the Manukato on the Friday night?
I don't know, TK. I don't know. I can Friday night, I can understand it being quite firm because you've got to get through 18 races.
Sure.
The track bias, I just wonder if 90% of the time we run fairly ordinary horses at Moonee Valley, and when good horses get up on the pace and run along, the dimensions of Moonee Valley come into play. It's a tight track.
It's a tight track. It's our tightest track, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I mean, it's 1,800 metres. I mean, it's 1,800 metres around, but it's only a short straight. And the jockeys walking the track Saturday morning were adamant that lane six and seven was the fastest place to be on the
track.
Really? Now, that's fine, but the field didn't get out there. There's only a couple got out there through the day. Ringy Ding Ding got on that lane. Mm. Invincible L got on that lane, and they absolutely flew. But the other thing is, it didn't have very big fields on Saturday. You know, it didn't have, you know, monster fields all day. So it's all sort of creates a bit of a perfect storm. I think the track was really well prepared on Saturday, but it was a hard day to make ground.
Well, that's funny. If the jockeys are telling you lane six is the go and none of them went there, very, very strange.
But if you draw one and two, three, you're not going to get turned right.
I understand that.
But lane three and four look like quicksand when they hit the turn.
They did.
Yeah, there definitely was a disadvantage in that spot there. For whatever reason, and I couldn't explain why it was. And those that walked the track said that before the first, that little patch around the turn was inferior. Not so much in the straight, but around the turn.
Right. When you're trying to make that ground and get into the race, it makes it difficult. 13:53:53. Look, many people know what unfolded on the weekend. We'll start taking calls nice and early if possible. The wash-up, mate, I thought Ben Battle was terrific. I'd like to ask, I asked Duff earlier this, but I'd like to ask you, Dino, why didn't Ben Battle try and, you know, pinch a lead? And I mean, I know probably because it would have got beaten anyway, but was that the only way that maybe Winx could have been vulnerable if Ben Battle did kick clear and pinch a lead?
Yeah, looking at sort of the speed he was going, I don't know if he's sort of gone much faster than that in races in the past.
Right.
So I think probably Sheen Murphy was pretty comfortable that he was going a speed that gave him his best chance. If he'd pushed earlier, you know, would he have, you know, capitulated late and not even run second? Who knows? But
maybe.
I thought, you know, if you're looking at the tempo of the race and how he rode it, I think he rode pretty much the right race.
I thought he rode a beautiful race. He didn't fall for the three-card trick of the uncertainty of D'Argento kicking up and sort of putting in that early 200 metre pressure on. He didn't fall for that trap of riding his horse out of its comfort zone. I thought his ride was a pearler, actually.
Yep.
So he rode for second.
Well, no.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No, he was never riding like that. He was never going to beat Winx.
Well, who knows? He was in the 1-1. He presented at the right time.
All of that.
I think he rode his horse the right way.
Okay.
It's just that, yeah, he was beaten by a faster horse. But I don't think he could have gone a lot quicker.
No, I thought the horse ran brilliantly, Ben Battle, by the way. Humidor was a closer, Dino.
He ran okay. He got into the place for those that took the place, thank goodness.
he actually got out the place. I think we said 2:10 in the morning, Dino. Yeah. You might have got a 2:16 or something like that.
Around so that.
Just a little bit extra for you.
And the multiplier.
Because it's a big week coming up. You know,
yeah, oh, I needed
you know,
it.
And you need it. You know, you need extra 6 cents for all the work you're going to put in on the next.
Yeah. Exactly.
There'll only be like 300 acceptors every day for 4 days.
We need Dino to be focused this week. There's no doubt about that. Moonee Valley Gold Cup, Dino. Ventura Storm now 27th in the order of entry for the Melbourne Cup. Hopefully, has a penalty been announced yet?
No.
But would want to get what?
No, he'll get in.
He'll get in anyway. The attrition's quite high, isn't it?
The attrition's really starting to kick in.
Yeah, I think they ruled about five out after Saturday, didn't they?
Yeah, well, there'll be no Humidor. I doubt Tosin Basil. I doubt Taj Mahal, Egg Tart, Big Duke, Red Cardinal. Holmesman's definitely not running there.
And the internationals, it's not all free-flowing for them because Giretto had a bone scan this week and Crosscounter's had a week or more off as well. So it hasn't been smooth sailing for the internationals.
So before I think you'll get there, Crosscounter. I don't
trap
know about
for fools
Giretto.
Get there?
Well, he's borderline of getting a run. Now he's qualified. He's about equal 30. He's about where Zaccardo is. You can put him about there. So he could actually nearly get in if so desired, I reckon.
All right. Glenn, we might get it. Can you give us a little update on the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, well, we got to call it Yucatan Ire.
You're
going to call it
Yucatan.
I think we'll call it Yucatan.
You can have Lomrod's Matt Hill calling it Yucatan Ire in the Cup.
Can you just say Ire in brackets?
Yes.
Ire, yeah.
Well, he's the favourite anyway. He's a $5 favourite for the Cup. Only horse in single figures. So it's a very, very big hole for a Melbourne Cup field this far out to have a favourite at $5. Yeah. The next pick is an $11 chance. And that's Marwan Kukash's horse, Magic Circle. They're still working out his dress if he accepts the trophy.
Oh, dear.
Marwan. It's $11. Avilius, Best Solution, Crosscounter, all at $13. Muntahar and the Cliffs of Moor at $15 each of two. Holmesman's there at $17. Marmello, Rostropovich, and Young Star all at $17. You've got Giretto with the question mark. Finch off the back of the Geelong Cup the other day. Red Verdon and Ventura Storm, all $26, and then a stack of them at $34. Okay. So that's the field at this stage.
I will get to the callers on 13:53:53, but I'll quiz Dino if I possibly can. What did you make of Rostropovich, and what did you make of the fact that Kerrin McAvoy, just for our listeners, Kerrin McAvoy is jumping off Young Star?
Yeah. He's going to ride
the Godolphin horse, which is Crosscounter. Craig Williams will ride Young Star.
Okay. I thought that Rostropovich, I thought they'd ride him more for the Melbourne Cup and be a little bit conservative, but not Ryan Moore's sort of style. He pushed forward and the horse had a solid hit out. He looked well. He ran okay. I'd hope he was ridden a little bit more conservatively in the Cup. Mm. And I thought Avilius went fine. I don't think there was anything wrong with his run. Yeah. I've seen horses like how he performed come out and win Melbourne Cups. He ran as well as, say, Green Moon or Efficient in their years and come out and win when they get the weight drop and back to a handicap two-mile race.
And Kerrin's decision to jump off Young Star, who I thought was very, very good in the Caulfield Cup, doesn't matter what I think, but he's off it and he's on that chestnut coat. Or Crosscounter, sorry, Crosscounter.
Yeah, well, Young Star was, I thought, a significantly better run in the Caulfield Cup than Ventura Storm, even though Ventura Storm ran okay and he's come out one Saturday. So it's a gutsy call because he's getting onto a horse that has had a week off, but he's got such good links with Godolphin, they must be giving him a strong push that the horse as well.
All right. Duff, what did you make of that, mate? Because you're a bit of a Young Star. I'm a Young Star fan. Are you a Young Star fan?
I doubt she's going to be in my numbers for the Cup.
Okay.
No. I respect her, and I do think she'll stay. But she's still young. She's still young and inexperienced against the hard heads at a Melbourne Cup tough two miles. So, but I thought those two horses out of the Cox Plate Melbourne Cup horses, Avilius and Rostropovich, went well as well. No knock on their performances.
All right. Harold's on the line. We'll go to Harold for our first of our callers. But if you call, you'll get through 13:53:53. Hi, Harold.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Dino, I thought Mystic Journey victory was pretty good. And in respect, she did come back from she was back early and she made a pretty good sustained run, and it was comforting to listen to. I think the trainer said the owners were going to race her on until she was five, which was great. I thought
Mystic Journey.
Yes,
she was outstanding on Saturday. I thought she'd end up three wide and have a tough run, and she ended up three wide and had a tough run, and she still won easily. So. Okay. She's a lot better filly than probably I thought. I underestimated her on Saturday and paid the price. No, she's good. I think she might be going to the Sandown Guineas if she has one more run, but fair chance she might be going to the paddock.
Okay, I'd put her out myself. But can you tell me the straight of Geelong, please? How long the straight is at Geelong?
Just on 400 metres.
Oh, that's a beauty. Thank you. All right. All the best, fellas.
Well done, Harold. Nice to hear from you. Graham's on the line. We'll keep taking some calls. Hi, Graham.
Morning, fellas. Dean, just on the first race, had a wedge tail. Had a bit of a bad luck, but might have hit that zone you were talking about.
Could have, and also run into True Serendipity or whatever it was called, that took half the field off the track. But Wedgetail and Salome was the really good run there. They just got speared right off when that horse ran off the track. But that's the difference with the Waterhouse horses. They just jump, run, put themselves in the spot and had the luck.
Yep. All good. Great day. Thanks for that, fellas.
Good on you, mate. Easy one there. Just quickly to it, Royal Randwick. The rail was a no-go there. It's funny, isn't it, the contrast between the two different states, Ronnie? Everyone on the rail and on the pace at Moonee Valley. At Randwick, the rail was a no-go for mine. It started, a soft six, upgraded to a good four, and most of the good things sort of won, didn't they, on the day?
It was a bit of a messy day, and you did have to be down the outside there. The tracks obviously had that was its fifth week in a row.
We've had a lot of rain.
Obviously rain every week, well, the last 3 weeks anyway, so that hasn't helped the situation, but they've got through it. And it'll get a cup, get a little freshen up after Melbourne Cup Day.
What was the best win at Randwick, Glenn? A single bullet or Aqua Divina, or did you like another one?
Well, Ronnie wouldn't think single bullet, but going forward, you'd probably say Aqua Divina when you consider
probably, she was
going from a midweek race at Warwick Farm to a Saturday benchmark 94. It's a fair rise in class. I think she was a 76. At Warwick Farm straight to a 94 on Saturday. Get some old hardheads as well. And, she was very, very good. She's coming back off she had colic. She's only had five starts, I think, in her whole life. And, to look at a horse you want to be sort of getting on the tail of, I think she's the horse you want to be looking at out of the winners.
Aqua Divina may well go to the matriarch, the Group 2 matriarch. So now 4 wins in 3 seconds and... Matthew Smith always seems to have a good horse, Glenn.
He does, and the Cooks there that carried Christine Cook's colours, a big couple of days for Christine. She debuted a new set of colours with Mrs. Holt on Friday night, with a two-year-old having its first start, just reversing some of her colours and mainly blue, because the Holt family colours are blue and red. So they produced a new set for Friday night there, and they own Torgerson. I thought one of the Beaten Brigade on Saturday. I thought Sambro went better. He was down on the inside. I thought Fabrizio went all right down on the inside on Saturday. And you've just got to try and work out, how much you think you should tack on to those horses that were down on the inside Saturday, as you did the previous meeting, and take off the horses that were on the extreme outside, like Revenir and those sort of horses that looked impressive coming down the outside fence, but back to a more even playing field. But, they just don't find the absolute right lane on Saturday, and they couldn't win.
Yeah, just another one for punters to try and work out. And, Ronnie, just a quick one here, mate. Your opinion on how far Aqua Divina could go?
I think I agree with Glenn. I thought she was one of the better winners of the day, and because of that situation where she's still raw and hasn't had a lot of racing, and she lifted up to another level. I'm not saying they're any good, the horses she beat, but they're hardheads. They're tough, seasoned horses that she did beat. So whether I want to back her in a matriarch at this stage of her career is probably not. I'm not saying she can't win, but I just think she might be work in progress for a more an autumn type of mare rather than a spring type of mare. But no knock on her. I thought she was one of the wins of the day. The horse I want to follow out of that meeting on Saturday is the first winner, Royal Celebration. I think a lot of
That's Ronnie's horse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ronnie Quinton's horse. Yeah.
The form around him's strong. He's peaking at the right time. If they decide to go to a race like, I think it's that 1400 three-year-old race in the last day, the Hilton on the Park or something like that, he'll be a forgotten horse in the market in that race. And I think that's a Sydney horse that I'd want to isolate and say, well, we're going to get nearly double figure odds and he's going to run the race of his life.
Jeez, we'll be punch drunk by then, mate. Jeez, it's a big one. I'm just thinking that Hilton on the Park, when you come to that on that fourth day, you're thinking, oh, please.
What's left?
God give me strength. Before the 9:30 news, Glenn, I might get an update on the Victoria Derby. Then I've got a couple of questions on text for our experts.
Righto, TK, the Victoria Derby, which is this Saturday, of course. Thinking Big, the favourite here at $3. Aramayo out of that, well, I still call it the Vase, I think, on Saturday. It's Vase, a $6 chance, yeah. Extra Brute is at $8. Chapada and Savoir, $9 each of two. Then you go to Sikorsky and Saturday's winner, Stars of Karam, at $13 each of two. Dealmaker, Farouk, Mickey Blue Eyes and Savvy Oak all at $17 and at $26. Alessandro, Home Ground, the Geelong winner from last Wednesday. And Viseo, their $26 okay. Pops, $50 and longer the rest.
So the text message says this, Dino and Duff, Aramayo or Thinking Big for the Derby? Dino?
Thinking Big.
Okay. Or anything else, by the way. But yeah. he only gave me the choice of two there, Aramayo or Thinking Big.
I'm happy with that one.
Duff?
Yeah, no, he's, I'm a Thinking Big fan all the way through.
Yep. And then if wins, we'll be qualified for the Melbourne Cup. They've got to find a jockey and then run in the Melbourne Cup.
Johnny actually got to run the first three, doesn't he, to qualify for the Melbourne Cup?
Does he?
Well, okay. He's only got to pass the distance clause.
So where would he be in order of entry if he runs in the first three?
Oh, he's nearly top because he's carrying overweight for age, in fact. I mean, he's got 49
yeah.
and weight for age is 48 and a half. So he's actually the highest qualified horse if he runs top three.
Okay. And Glenn,
he just hasn't passed one of the qualifying clauses.
You've got to run over. You've got to run in a stakes race over 2,300 or further and run 1, 2 or 3.
Okay. And I imagine a bloke like a Glenn Boss would be sniffing around for that.
Why wouldn't Timmy Clark be riding him?
Can he get to 49? Yeah.
Oh,
he's small.
He rode 51 pretty easy on Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he'd be in the back of his head.
Well, I didn't want to take the ride off Tim, by the way. Apologies there. I just didn't know whether Tim can get to the 49, yeah.
Don't have Glenn Boss's 49 at the moment, looking at him at Saturday at Mooney Valley. He's very healthy.
Well, he's one of those lucky ones who can actually eat.
Is there another load of acceptances today
for
the Open Cup?
Today, yeah.
Today.
Okay.
So that'll be later on this morning, I imagine. We'll have a look because the attrition rate, as we've mentioned, has been quite high. It's 9:30. Madison Clare patiently waiting for a sporting update. Here she is, and then we'll get back to taking your calls on 13:53:53. You've got Glenn Munsey, Dean Lester, and also Ronnie Duffersey.
Thank you, Terry. Well, the NRL's coaching carousel has taken its next stop with Ivan Cleary released by the West Tigers and Michael Maguire confirmed as his successor for the next three seasons. Cleary is now headed over to Penrith on a reported 5-year deal. Meanwhile, Canterbury prop David Clemmer is seeking a release from the Bulldogs despite having 2 years left on his deal, with reports he's eyeing a big money move to the Knights. In cricket, Pakistan have completed a T20 series clean sweep, beating the Aussies by 33 runs this morning. And Britain's Lewis Hamilton celebrated his fifth Formula One World Championship with two races to spare this morning in a Mexican Grand Prix won by Red Bull's Max Verstappen for a second year in a row. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
The excitement of spring racing returns to Rosehill Gardens this Saturday with Spring Racing on Derby Day. Get trackside in your best Derby Day black and white to enjoy live racing, entertainment and hospitality. Plus all the action from Flemington live on the big screen. For world-class racing, award-winning hospitality and entertainment, book Spring Racing on Derby Day this Saturday at theraces.com.au. Want the good oil on this year's Melbourne Cup Carnival? Catch the big sports breakfast over 4 big days. Trackside from the Sky Racing Marquee at Flemington Racecourse. Friday, we preview Melbourne's best day of racing, Derby Day. Next Monday through Wednesday, we'll bring you all the pre- and post-Melbourne Cup news. Join the big sports breakfast live from Flemington from Friday on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One as we count down to the Cup.
Are you looking to be a part of positive change for your environment and community? Get on board and make a positive difference with Conservation Volunteers Australia. Our network of 25 offices around Australia and New Zealand are working with local communities to improve their environments with tree plantings, weed clearing, wildlife surveys and loads of other hands-on projects. Contact Conservation Volunteers Australia on 1800 032 501 or visit conservationvolunteers.com.au to find a project near you.
Bushfire season is upon us. Sky Sports Radio and Tabcorp asks our listeners to remain vigilant and immediately report any outbreaks. Let's stay safe in New South Wales this summer.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
You're listening to Sky Sports Radio and Punters Postmortem.
Always good to have a company on a Monday morning, 9:33. Text messages, 0419 767 272. Lads, Winks was not about the money. She was about the memories, and she didn't disappoint. Crossy, yeah, well said, Crossy.
Absolutely.
Mr. Ron and Mr. Dean. There you go. Mr. Ron and Mr. Dean. I'm on Extra Brute and Dealmaker in the Derby. Do they have any hope against Thinking Big, says Magpie.
Extra Brute will have a better chance on a drier track. Don't know if Dealmaker's had little stops and starts to his preparation, I think. I don't know if everything's gone quite right there. And whilst we're in that ad break and news update, TK, I took the opportunity to ring Grant Carpenter to clarify the Thinking Big situation.
Yeah.
And he passes the qualifying clauses on Saturday if he runs 1, 2, 3, but he's not eligible for a penalty if he runs second or third, where he does need to get a little penalty. Because when the weights were released, he was a two-year-old. Or when the entries were taken, he was essentially a two-year-old. So it's quite a complex little formula that Greg just went through, and I have no chance of relaying it to you. But he basically does have to win on Saturday.
Yep. So just if you think a bet into the Melbourne Cup market,
take the same horse double.
Well, if he ran second or third, and there was only 24 acceptors, yes, he'd be eligible for a run.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, it's not a fate of complete.
It will be.
She's allowed an extra piece of intrigue, wouldn't it, Ronnie?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. It'd be great. And, you know, I think these horses, like, you know, I don't know, I couldn't back Runaway in a Melbourne Cup, but I think it's great. He's on the verge of getting a run. He deserves to be in there. It's recent form, and he'll put some spice into the Cup, and I'm all for this call for, I know we do it every year, but recent form is good form. There's going to be a lot of out-of-form horses.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't had a good look through it, but that'll get in front of in-form horses.
I think we're all for that, and I think, well, certainly more qualifying races to allow our horses to pass the qualification standards. This, regarding three-year-olds, by the way, I thought Nothing Like a Dame was probably the last. It wasn't. Cutting texted me, Arena, that was the last Southern Hemisphere three-year-old to run in the Cup for the Inghams in 1998, won by Jezebel. He finished 15th.
It was a horror watch.
Yeah, he came off a win over the Sky Heights in the Derby. Fun Derby Day there.
He was about fourth on the fence and got dragged right out of the race.
And that was terrible news, by the way. Shattered about Kings Will Dream. Yeah, Kings Will Dream. Dino, Matty Hill called it early, just... What did it stumble out of the gates?
He knuckled out of the gates. Yeah. If you watch the head on, after he knuckles, doesn't want to put his off hind leg to the ground, and looked like Johnny Allen was going to ease him up, and then he changed legs, and so he obviously got the pressure off where the injury was, and he was okay for about 300 metres. As soon as he changed leg again, he's got a fractured pelvis. The biggest issue was that he had very bad internal bleeding on Saturday night, which they couldn't stop. But they've stopped that, and he's in a lot better shape today. But they've got to keep him upright because of the pelvic fracture, and they'll know more tomorrow.
Right. Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
fingers
absolutely.
Crossed because
absolutely.
He's a beaut, an absolute beaut.
Yep.
I giggle because this makes me laugh from John. John's up us. No bias. When Winks gets around all this rubbish, you guys talk all year about tracks and excuses. As Dean said, do you take into account the ability of some of these horses? John, Winx is a once-in-a-lifetime generation horse. It can overcome anything. But other mere normal horses need a lot of luck to win a race. So, yeah, don't worry. It's a reality. Fast lanes are a reality. Track bias is a reality. You can deny it all you like, John, but take it into account, you'll end up penniless.
Well, on Saturday, TK, the on the home turn, the winners were in the lanes 1, 3, 2, 3, 2, 4, 3, 3, 3. Winx was in lane 5. She was the only one that got wider.
Because she's Winx.
She's Winx.
She's Winx. You know, it's like a
champion. Just on the three-year-olds, Dino, and did we make anything out of that jump out with Written By and Zoostar and all them horses in there the other day?
I'll have another look at it. I was happy that Written By got down the straight pretty nicely.
He looked good, yeah.
Yeah, he looked really good. Because I don't think, whether he's just been trained for one day, his figures are nowhere near as good as they were as a two-year-old, what he's done in his two wins so far. But whether Graham Begg's just been aiming just at one day and that trial's the moment that really sort of tops him off. It looks a really enticing clash, doesn't it?
I was set to oppose him, but I'm very nervous. I liked his trial.
I did too.
Dino, did I read, like, I think it was Caesar, couldn't get a jump out of Fleming because he's stabled at Caulfield, so is Written By allowed to get a jump out of Caulfield because he's trained out of the city?
No, I didn't know about that because...
Because he's a Group 1 winner, maybe?
No, well...
Well, that gives you course profit.
If you're running in the Coolmore, you should be able to have had a jump out. I think...
Yeah, but I'm sure I read something...
Yeah, I did too.
Let me say, I'm 99% sure it was Caesar.
Yep.
Right?
Okay.
But, and the reason given was the fact he was stabled at Caulfield.
No, I did.
Which in a few years' time, you won't be able to.
No. 4 years and 11 months and 3 weeks.
I'm sure I read that as well. And I found it amusing, but I think that's happened before. So does that mean that a horse like Diplomatico, or could he have a jump out down the straight? Or I suppose he's stable.
Yeah, well, they're stable to Flemington.
Flemington, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't. No, I don't know. Alone, I mean, Written By is at Mornington, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's down at Pinecliff, isn't he?
Mm, he is.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful property.
It's beautiful.
Morning, fellas. Love your work. Thoughts on Finch for the Melbourne Cup? Great run in the Geelong Cup, first up in Australia. Cheers, AB.
Ran well. Was a bit keen early. Thought he ran well. He's got form good enough to suggest he'll be competitive.
Mm. Has to improve on what we saw the other day, though.
I think he will improve.
They can do.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. They can do.
Yeah.
And they have done in the past, haven't they? 13-53-53. Let's go to the open line. Hi, Doug. Good morning. G'day, Doug.
Yeah, good morning, gents.
Thanks for waiting.
That's okay. Just wondering about the Manicato, why there wasn't a protest from Hootson being chopped out of the race.
We've got a couple here. Hootson, unlucky or badly ridden was one of the text messages we got. Unlucky, so, I think.
Unlucky, yeah. Shane Murphy got suspended.
Got chopped out.
Whether the two-length margin... Two and a bit lengths off Spirit of Valor was thought excessive, but she was certainly going to win the race. So you're probably right. They probably may have erred and not throwing in at least a look anyway.
Well, I thought she would have got a place at the least because even though
she virtually had pulled up,
it was upright.
Yeah, well, to protest successfully, she'd virtually had to win it because the second horse was only beaten a neck. And that's the horse that knocked her down. So you've virtually got to say she should have won.
What about the prize money difference from one placing? Does that make a difference?
No, it's about margin.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
No, I mean the fact that they protested and it was carried, regardless of the margin, the prize money difference from running one
No,
it was sixth to fifth. So, yeah, there was a difference.
There's a bit of prize money involved, that's all.
I thought you meant whether stewards take into account the amount of prize money difference between...
No, so she earned for sixth, she earned $20,000. It was $25,000 for fifth.
Well, didn't the jockey get a decent suspension?
He did.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was a severe suspension, but nothing else about a protest. I just thought that was a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep, good on you, Doug. We often see that. We can see, well... Probably, generalising again, TK. 90% of suspensions don't lead to a protest.
Well, it tells you that they're responsible, though. tells you they're responsible for the interference if they get suspended for it. So they're saying the second horse, Spirit of Valor, caused that interference to Hootson. So he's entitled to say, well, you know, you've knocked me down. I'm protesting against you.
Well, the other part of the argument, Dino, is you can protest, win it, for the suspension, but the jockey who caused the interference doesn't get suspended.
Yeah, exactly right.
So you know what I mean, like.
My point is that I'm watching the replay as we're talking. I think she was going to run. I reckon she was going to run third, and the thing is, he had to prove that he was virtually going to win because he had to beat the second horse home.
Well, the interference was at the 50-meter mark. So
yeah, it's very close.
He said, I really didn't. You know, the margin I've been beaten, it only happened 50 meters out. Yeah. So, you know, you got to say, you couldn't have said it's cost me 2.5 lengths in that 50 metres.
Exactly.
That would be his major reason where the incident happened, his beaten margin, and how. Because you've got to go into a protest, and of course you've got to lie, and say, you know, that horse knocked me down, it cost me half a length, and I got beat ahead.
Yeah, of course. There's no point saying I got beat a nose, you know.
No, some have. Some have got beat. They've said how long the beaten margin here is
How
much did it cost you? A head.
Just got a message through. Cesar was unable to contest that jump out of Flemington because he's not stabled at Flemington and he hasn't won a Group 1. So obviously only horses out of town that have won a Group 1 for some bizarre reason aren't allowed to contest their jump out.
Okay. Yeah, it's disappointing because, I mean, there's not. I mean, I know they're trying to minimise traffic before Cup Week, but
there was only two jump outs last night.
There was only two jump outs, exactly right.
Quick one. Let's keep taking calls and text messages. Got a good photo here. Jason from French's Forest has sent one up. He made the trip down there to the Cox Plate, and he's got a good photo with Debbie Kapitas with the Cox Plate. That would have been at lunch yesterday. So well done there to all those owners. I think they've all been absolutely fantastic. Chris Waller's been great. So too Huey Bowman. Morning, guys. Fantastic show. Should Chris Waller be worried now? TK has said Winks can overcome anything. Hopefully not a jinx. Yeah, well, hopefully not. Hopefully not. Boys, Charge looks like a good horse, says True Blue.
It's well named.
Yeah, he's a great tactical ride by Bowman. He caught Dunn just having a little snooze there. Yeah. I was interested in that race, watching that race, because Dunn didn't do a lot wrong, but just little one percenters didn't go his way, because I thought he thought he may have owned the lead there and may have been not as aggressive as he should have been, and then all of a sudden 100-1 chance kicks up underneath him, so he didn't get the trailing position behind Charge, and he went past the line just shaking his head. You see jockey shaking his head. It was like he was dirty on himself.
No, he was shaking his head that the leader kept going.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought he went
9.2 lengths above standard the first 400, which would have seen him lead the Manicato by 4 lengths.
Well, Charge has never shown that speed.
Yeah. No, well, I think they've, you know, listening to the post-race and talking to some of the connections, it was that they'd given up trying to teach him to settle. And in the post-race interview, Huey said that he'd love to see him one day at 1400, and if he paced himself, he could be top class.
Yeah, he's a lovely horse.
Nick from Narrabeen's been raccoon spotting, which we enjoy. Hi, could be wrong, but I haven't heard anyone mention Winks passing Frankel and Zenyatta's world record of 9 Group 1s on the bounce. Cheers, Nick from Narrabeen. Well, there you go. Add that to the list of achievements.
She's got a few records in there.
Yeah. Yep.
An update here by from Brad Spicer, the owner of Kingswood Dream. He's improved since yesterday in regards to his blood picture, which was the main concern, and will undergo bone scans midweek to determine the extent of his pelvic injury. He was bright this morning looking at all the other horses, which is also a positive. So, all positives at the moment anyway for Kingswood Dream.
This comes in, Glenn, to confirm your thoughts.
What, same horse double?
Protest. Jim Byrne on Pain in the Glass protested against Helmet when he ran off the track in the Champagne. Margin was 1 length, and Jimmy said it cost him half a length.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Good on you, Jimmy. Yeah.
My dad used to say, whatever thought it cost you, double.
Double. Half the wins, half the losses. Half the wins, half the losses. You know the rules. Let's go to Scott if we can. Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning. How you going, fellas?
Good, Scott.
That's the way. I like all his opinion of the old marble who shot the barman. He seems to be coming back as good as ever.
Worked home well, Dino.
Yeah, well, he hit the mark on Saturday. That was a much better run at the right time. So he's run first, second, and now fourth in the Moonee Valley Cup and deserves his place next week.
He'll run top 10, won't he?
He usually does.
Is there a lower level cup somewhere for misadmiration?
Well, they're not aiming for anything lower. They're hoping to sneak in.
I'm hoping she
gets to run in the Sandown Cup 2 miles there. She'll run 2 mile on her ear. She might be a Jericho Cup horse, 4,600.
What's that? Saturday fortnight. Sandown Cup.
Yeah, Saturday fortnight. But she'll be trying to get into the Melbourne Cup.
Okay. Anything else, Scott?
What's about the other three of his opinion on him?
Who shot the barman?
Oh, look, it's
top 10.
That Chris, you know, Chris is a pattern man, and that's the race he runs him in to say, do you want to run in another cup? And he usually says, yes, I do. I agree. I'd be shocked if he won, but he's going to be snapping at their heels somewhere there in the top half of the field.
He won't be in your top four, though, Ronnie.
No.
Glenn?
Oh, no. As Ronnie said, when Chris gets a pattern for a horse, it's like Winx, she runs in the same races all the time. It's like, you know, Red Zell in a way, he runs in the same races all the time. Why would you run in any other races? You program him to run to get ready in different races, and then bang, there is his main target.
Yeah.
And you can set that out, you know, 12 months in advance.
It will show the diversity of the race. If he's in there and Thinking Big gets in there, we'll have a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old in the Melbourne Cup. That'd be fantastic.
Well, Thinking Big would go to the barrier with Who Shot the Barman, and he'd be saying, now come with me, son. When you get up here, it's a long way down here. You know, you're running here on Saturday. We've got to go right up the end of this shoot today to start.
Still
Thinking Big was 12 months off being born when Who Shot the Barman ran third to Protectionist.
Wow.
Incredible.
But the old age, I'm a big, those old, the sprinters, or they're all of them, sprinters, middle distances, or the distance horses. It's
tough old characters.
It's hard to get past the tough old horses. I mean, they've all been there in the trenches. They've all done it, whether it's over 1,000 or 1,200 or a mile or 2 mile. And the new kids on the block, they find it hard, don't they, Dino?
Yeah, they do. They do. He's
good.
Probably not a betting proposition, but I reckon the connections are probably thinking we're going to run top 10 again.
Yeah, that's Who Shot the Barman. And just, I'm pretty sure as I go to my text, Crossy's taking the $13.50 a place, Thinking Big in the Melbourne Cup, believing if things pan out correctly for him.
Yeah, it's $150,000 down to 12th this year.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, so there's another two slots.
They've stretched it for two.
From 10 down to 12, yeah.
A lot of internationals around 11th and 12th.
And made a question here for Dino and everybody, really, about... Do you think there will be a cap on overseas horses in the cup one day to give Australasian horses a go because one day a local won't get in? Billy?
There's a lot of times locals haven't got in. Prince of Penzance didn't get in the year before he won. I wouldn't think that.
No locals.
Yeah, well, it'll become an invitational race if we... It's an open race.
It's an open handicap,
and they pay their money to come down and take their chances. We've got to be good enough to go there. I think the qualifications are a touch too easy in Europe, and that's the thing. And David Hayes had a very interesting piece on the back page of the Herald Sun Saturday morning about a series of win and you're in races, and I've got no problem with that at all because they'll be informed horses.
What about... The interest that it creates as well. This is a qualification race for a Melbourne Cup.
That would be a pseudo block to more international horses without making it a firm block to say only a certain number allowed to start. By opening more penalty-free automatic qualifying races here in Australia,
that opens
the door for more Australian horses, but also opens the door for an international horse to come here maybe a fraction earlier.
Yeah, but Glenn, if we've seen them. Yeah,
so
if you're a punter and you've seen them... You don't care where they're from, really.
I think current form's what we want to see.
You know what I mean?
Magic Circle's going to be the biggest head scratcher on Cup Day.
Oh, God.
Because he looks like such a good horse, but we haven't seen him for so long.
Well, Montaha hasn't had a run. Marmello hasn't had a run.
At least we've seen Marmello here before, and this is a set play that they want. They thought last year they spent too much in the Caulfield Cup. So.
Yeah, they're just different preparations. Yeah. Hello, Kurt. Good morning, buddy. Hi, Kurt.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Good. Good. Never better, mate. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's a shot. Hey, Ronnie, you know that scenario you mentioned before with the horse not being able to trial at the race course?
Flemington, yep.
Yeah. No, I heard another case just with a different horse, though, as well during the week. So I reckon it is true, Ronnie.
Yeah, it sounds that way, unless you're a Group 1 winner or trained at Flemington, you're not allowed to jump out down the straight. You know, look, I can probably understand you might get 100 horses want to do it, but...
Sure. Well, there was a case a few years ago, people entering in the feature races just to get a gallop.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like people entering horses on Melbourne Cup Day to get the owner's tickets.
Owner's tickets, exactly. Yeah, right. It's tradition.
Yeah, I remember a new owner, they'd appear in new ownership names just for Melbourne Cup Day.
Yes, Kurt.
Yeah, no, Ronnie, I was just going to say, that horse that beat Marmello, the horse that Marmello ran second to in the time-honoured Pergolay the other month in August, claimed victory in a Group 1 last night at Chantilly, and it's satisfying to see the form stack up, and that was a good race if you look at it, Ronnie. I'm not going to bore you with the details now, but, geez, there was Group 1 form galore going into it, and it's just good tie-in form as well, very recent and... I don't know, Ronnie. Like, I'm just satisfied to see that so close to the cup now. That's all.
Yeah, well, Holzenstein or something, Green or something like that. I think that horse.
No, that's the one, Ronnie. Holzenstein's Green.
Yeah. Look, Marmello's only had four runs this year since the cup last year, and he's won two and run two second. So, I think his form is great this year.
I think so too, Ronnie. I think he's looking way better in the corresponding time last year than this year than last year.
Yeah. Look, and I think they've learnt from last year's experience. No, not from me. I'm very wary of him this year.
Yeah, and don't be put off, Ronnie. I was sort of gonna compare it to Max Dynamite going into last year's race at the corresponding time, but I can't because Max Dynamite sort of went into like a pretty much a picnic race going into it. But so you can never really, you know, and plus. You know, if you don't follow the form over there, how do you know? It's balls up, Ronnie, eh?
Yep. Look, if you've got a liking for him, Kurt, I'm not going to argue with you. Because,
all right.
I could make a case for him as well.
I'd like to see him ridden quieter than last year.
Me too.
He's going to get more speed this year by the look of it, and Bowman sort of attached himself to him again, hasn't he?
I think he has.
Yeah. So there's good signs there.
Good on you, Kurt. Nice to hear from you. That would blow... Richard Friedman's theory out the window, Glenn, wouldn't it? That
can't come back.
You can't come back. If you haven't won it.
Once you've had a go and you haven't won, there's a line through
them. All that sort of stuff.
Jeez, 2 years Maccabi Diva couldn't win.
No. If you haven't won it.
Oh, if you haven't won it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because obviously we've had multiple winners of the Melbourne Cup.
Not that many.
No, not that many. But again, geez, do the maths. The odds are certainly in favour of Richard's argument there.
Well, yeah, but in recent years we've had like a... Fiorente, he came back from second to win the next year.
Yeah.
Empire Rose, a few others.
Yeah. 13:53:53. Hello, Jim. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Terry. I'll speak to Dean, please. Thank you.
Yes, Jim.
Hi, Dean. I'm going to Melbourne for the first time and I'm going to the Cup for the first time. And with all due respect to Ronnie and co, I think you're the Cup's carnival king as far as tipping goes. So where do I get to listen to you on the radio when I'm in Melbourne, please?
Well, Saturday morning, Sky Sports Radio. Get on the app.
No. I mean on Cup Morning, I beg your pardon.
On Cup Morning. We'll be on Sky Sports Radio again.
Yeah.
Sky Sports Radio. Oh, right.
Plus, Jim, have you got the Tab app on your phone?
No, I certainly have not, no.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're down... Look, it's free, right? I'm not telling you just because we're the Tab, but if you download the Tab app...
Yes.
And up the top, there's, it's called Info or something like that. And you click on it, and you're going to see Dino's wonderful image come up, and he'll run you through the race and his selections
on the Tab app. Yes, there's the selections.
You'll be on RSN, Dino.
I'll be on RSN in
so
Melbourne.
So that's the local radio station in Melbourne is RSN.
927 on the dial between 8 and 9.
You're
but
in Melbourne, have you got a radio? It's 927 AM.
Yeah, but the app's the easiest way.
If he hasn't got a phone, TK, he's going to find it a
little
bit
difficult.
He's got
a phone. What do you think he's calling on?
A landline.
No. Have you got a phone, Jim?
Terry, I'm ringing on a mobile phone. I can barely text, so I'm
no. But look, just
927 AM then.
Honestly, I think it's a fantastic service.
It is a good service. That's what we do.
And Jimmy, all the fluctuations are on there for you, and all that sort of stuff. So
one final question,
yep,
please, Terry. The, I was listening earlier, and I'm not sure, it might have been Munn said that next Saturday it's going to be very hot Thursday, Friday, but Saturday it's going to be 23 degrees or something.
What's in Melbourne?
Yeah. What's the long-term prediction for the weather for Cup Day?
I don't know whether it goes that far.
Yeah.
It's good for this week, and it gets a little bit...
TK won't know. He'd be very wet on the inside by
Cup
Day.
I'll be okay. Don't worry about that.
Friday night I'll be Flemington.
Next Tuesday.
21 next Tuesday. Rain Monday, 22. 21 for Cup Day and fine.
There you go.
21 and fine. That'll be very pleasant. All right, Dean. Thanks for your help. See you.
Good on you, Jim.
Good on you, Jim.
Jeez, I thought he was going to hit me up for members tickets. That's a win. Yeah.
Providing tips and weather.
Have you got any spare?
Yeah, I've got plenty. How many do you want?
Not like the old days.
I've only been hit up for birdcage tickets, so I need a couple of members' spares.
Yeah.
Have you got any birdcage? That's the best one. Have you got any birdcage tickets?
Yes. Please.
You know, what marquee can you get
I'm
me
lucky
into?
To get general admission.
We've got one from Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning to you. Hello, Chris.
How you going, guys?
Good, buddy.
Hey, Glenn.
Chris.
The trifecta on Saturday for the Crocs Plate. A four-zon thing beats the 10-1 second favourite or $10 second favourite. Humidor was a clear third favourite. The trifecta paid $15 to $21 across the states. Why did the trifecta pay that well? I don't understand.
Mate, if you can work out what Parimutuel horses dividends are going to pay, you're a far, far better man than me. One day you think they're going to pay well overs, they don't. The next day, you think they're going to pay massive unders, and that they go the opposite way. So all that tells you is the big computer teams or whatever had one of the horses out of the placings heavily in their top three.
But that seems a crazy dividend to me. I mean, you know, fours on tens and twenties, clear 1-2-3 in an eight-horse race, and the trifectas are paid gross overs everywhere.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, even if you threw another one in for third, like take her to win, it would have cost you $6 to get the trifecta with three horses running for you for second and third. It's paid enormous.
So double your money.
Yeah, agree.
Beautiful after the ball activity.
Yeah, but never ever try and work out.
Nah.
You know, it used to be in the old days, you could nearly times work them out to a market to a certain way, but it's impossible to work out now. And
it's just the pool divided by how many live tickets, isn't it?
Yeah, but they get crunched in different ways.
Because of the flexi betting, it's changed a lot.
Of course, yeah.
And horses that SP $4 are paying $3.80, $3.80, $3.80.
Just trim them to a price.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris, for that. Not often people complain about how well something pays, but there you go. We've had it all today. Quickly before we go, look, mate, everyone's entitled to change their thoughts here, but I'll give it, if you can get a Derby tip and a horse to follow, Dino.
Thinking Big's my Derby tip at this stage,
yep,
TK.
Sure.
Got no reason to get off.
That's at this stage, by the way, everybody.
But I don't think there'll be much that'll change that. The horse I'm following, I liked her on Saturday. She didn't win, but she'll win on Cup Day, Into the Abyss, 1400 on Cup Day.
Into the Abyss on Cup Day. Okay, Ronnie?
Real Celebration if he goes for that listed race at Flemington, and Thinking Big, obviously, I'm with him as well. And I don't think I'm going to be jumping off Magic Circle in the Cup.
No, the replays are pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just the two runs for that one trainer and 2 6-length wins, and they're just powerful.
Good acceleration,
just
too.
Just don't want the coup cash action after the race.
Oh,
what's he promised, by the way?
Nudity.
Oh, well, he calls it, he's going to wear a thong.
A magtini.
Which is a genius.
Nah.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Not a Sarah.
No, we don't. Glenn, you got your Derby tip buddy and also one to follow?
I'm going to buck the trend and go Arameo, because I think the gap between Thinking Big and Arameo is becoming a little bit too wide.
Okay.
And I think they deserve to be closer together. So I think, you know, it's the old adage, you know, one horse is one down in Melbourne, so it becomes far, far shorter than the other horse. Oh. And I thought he battled on a right from a bad alley on Saturday, Arameo. And you look at the spring champion runs, there's not a massive amount between them. Arameo had a better draw that day. And horse to follow, there was a horse made its debut at Ipswich on Wednesday by the name of Osmanov.
On your
trained
Kurt.
By Toby,
well done,
Edwards.
Kurt.
Now, Dino, I was hosting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, okay,
so
right.
I've looked at Rocky.
Don't ask me how busy he was.
Named after a man called Alisha Osmanov, who made his first $1 billion out of making plastic bags in Russia. And he's very, very, very smart.
Apparently that's the hardest first billion to make, your first one. And then so after that, it gets a bit easier. Yeah.
Well, yes. And I must admit, through, you know, what's happened to my life, it has been TK.
I'm chewing into, going a little bit over time here, but Yucatan's firmed up this morning from $5 to $4.50. Before we leave, everybody, if you like Yucatan, will you not get a better price on the tote come cup morning or cup day?
Yep.
More than likely.
More than likely.
There'll be 200 to one shots paying $50 on the Paramutual. So.
There's been $6,491 on it this morning, $6,000 from the one punter.
And that would firm it up from $5 to $4.50.
Well, it's approaching a seven-figure loser, TK, so I'd probably say yes.
All right. Okay. Good to see a battler get a kick. Thank you, Glenn.